I chose to run for president at this moment in history because I believe deeply that we cannot solve the challenges of our time unless we solve them together.
Barack Obama's speech in Philadelphia this week is already being referred to as one of the most powerful discourses on race ever given by a politician. Many of its themes rested on the traditions of orators like Jesse Jackson, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Booker T. Washington. Joshua Guild is a professor of history and African American studies at Princeton University. He joins us from member station WBGO in Newark. Good morning to you, Professor.
Good morning.
Senator Obama's speech is being described as historic. What's your view about that?
What was so riveting and powerful about the speech, and I think one of the reasons why commentators and scholars will be sort of poring over this for many decades to come, is the way in which Obama hit on so many different levels. I mean, he was both responding to his sort of very urgent contemporary political crisis, and particularly with the controversy regarding Reverend Wright. He talks about his own personal narrative, something that's been a common theme throughout his campaign. But as well, he weaves in a very poignant and, I think, prescient historical analysis that pushes us towards a larger, broader conversation on race in America.
Do you feel he spoke about poverty enough? A number of observers have felt he could have gone a bit deeper on it.
I think he certainly could have gone a bit further with the issue of poverty, and I think that's been a central failing of this entire election cycle, particularly since Senator Edwards had left the race. However, I think Obama does a masterful job of talking about the roots of contemporary poverty, taking us back to the New Deal, for example, and discrimination that African Americans faced in obtaining mortgages, in joining labor unions, and gaining employment in various sectors. So to the extent that he gestured and pointed us towards the past, I think that part of the speech was really quite important.
I understand that you have a major criticism of the speech, and it is that it takes race and makes it a binary discussion that is about black and white, when racial issues in this country are a lot more diverse than that.
Certainly. And this is not a criticism that I would lay solely at Senator Obama's feet, but to the extent that we can look at this as a kind of opening salvo for a larger conversation and a larger engagement and analysis of race and racial inequalities in America, we absolutely have to make that conversation one that is multiracial.
Years ago, 20 years plus, Jesse Jackson talked about something called the Rainbow Coalition. Here's just a bit of what he said at the 1984 Democratic National Convention in San Francisco.
We're bound by Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and Rabbi Abraham Heschel crying out from their graves for us to reach common ground. We're bound by shed blood and shed sacrifices to go on divided one from another. We must turn from finger-pointing to clasped hands. We must share our burdens and our joys with each other once again. We must turn to each other and not on each other and choose higher ground.
Jesse Jackson in 1984, why didn't his message resonate the way Barack Obama's has? Do you think it was the message or the messenger or the times?
I think it was a little of all three. Mm-hmm. I think that people looked at Jackson as an inheritor of the civil rights legacy, of Dr. King's legacy, and that's certainly the way in which he presented himself. And for some Americans, that was a hopeful, positive legacy. And for some, they were able to reduce that legacy to one that was exclusive to African Americans and wasn't necessarily inclusive of a kind of broader swath of America. But I think it's also important to point out that Jesse Jackson was also building on a legacy laid by Shirley Chisholm, who ran in 1972, the Brooklyn congresswoman, who also offered an inclusive vision that called out for African Americans to join with whites, with Hispanics, Native peoples, so that each successive politician builds on the legacies and the kind of path that is sort of laid before them by previous generations.
And where in Senator Obama's speech can you see that older influence?
Well, there's certainly an element of W.E.B. Du Bois, who in The Souls of Black Folk, 1903, articulated that concept of double consciousness, describing the African-American condition and African-American identity as being rooted both in something quintessentially American, but also something quintessentially African, and the irreconcilability of those two identities. And there's something in Obama and talking about, you know, being the son of a Kenyan and a white woman from Kansas that evokes some of that. But the speech actually that this oration most reminded me of was Lyndon Baines Johnson's 1965 address to Howard University commencement, right on the eve of the passage of the Voting Rights Act.
Negroes are trapped, as many whites are trapped, in inherited, gateless poverty. They lack training and skills. They are shut in slums, without decent medical care. Private and public poverty combine to cripple their capacities.
That speech by President Johnson encouraged us again to look into the past, to engage in the past of racial discrimination, but as a way of thinking about the necessities of moving forward, necessities of government intervention, but also of kind of a changing of outlook and spirit of the American public.
Jobs are part of the answer. Decent homes in decent surroundings and a chance to learn, an equal chance to learn, are part of the answer. An understanding heart by all Americans is another big part of the answer.
Joshua Guild is professor of history and African American studies at Princeton University. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
To hear or read the full text of speeches by President Johnson, Jesse Jackson, and Booker T. Washington, check out our website, npr.org.